there is now.
And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast.
15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the City of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. It's Friday here in London. It's the 27th of July, 2018. It's a beautiful day here in sunny Shoreditch. I mean, the weather here in London has been absolutely insane the last couple of weeks. It was 35 degrees yesterday. Today is an absolute scorcher. I think it's a little bit hotter, maybe 36 degrees here. But it's all okay because we're in an air-conditioned office here at SVK Crypto HQ in Shoreditch. So all is going well. It's been a big week for us here at SVK Crypto. We've published a lot of cool content on YouTube. We've been speaking at a lot of different venues around London. So big thanks to the Crypto Investor Show in particular for hosting a kick-ass event. I believe it was on Tuesday. Well, enough of that. Let's get down to business. Bitcoin's currently trading at $7,850. That's down 4.5% in the last 24 hours. Ethereum's currently at $459. That's down 4%. EOS currently at $8. That's down 6%. We have NEO currently at $32.40. That's down 6% as well. We've seen a small pullback in the market, especially in the market cap. It was $299 billion yesterday. It's $286 billion today. So nothing substantial. The market is sentiment driven, as we always say. We haven't really had too much negativity out itself. There's been one story, though, which caused the pullback regarding an ETF, which we're going to get into in a second. Bitcoin, as we know, leads the market. The market moves in lockstep with Bitcoin. And when Bitcoin or negative sentiment comes out about Bitcoin, we normally see a small pullback. This is something that I believe will be for short term. This is a small FUD in the market. And I believe that we're going to be seeing a massive uptrend like we've been seeing the last couple of days pick back up over the course of the weekend potentially. But listen, this is not financial or trading advice. It's just our in-house view. Now, let's find out more about what was the catalyst behind Bitcoin's pullback and the market's pullback in the last 24 hours. US regulator stands by decision to block Winklevoss Bitcoin ETF. So the securities regulator found unpersuasive arguments that the Bitcoin ETF proposed by Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss, the twin brothers, who founded crypto exchange Gemini Trust Co. LLC, would be sufficiently protected from manipulation. It said in a 92-page analysis posted on its website, regulated Bitcoin-related markets are in the early stages of the development, saying that it cannot conclude that Bitcoin markets are uniquely resistant to manipulation. But the SEC did not completely shut the door to such products coming to the market once the Bitcoin market has matured, offering some hope for at least five or other Bitcoin ETF proposals that are still pending before the regulator. Bitcoin turned negative after the SEC's ruling. The last trade was it traded down nearly 4.5%. The virtual currency can be used to move money around the world quickly with relative anonymity. Without the need for central authorities such as a bank or government, a fund holding the currency could attract more investors and push its price higher. The SEC said that there was not enough evidence and efforts to thwart manipulation of the ETF's price, or that the underlying Bitcoin market would be successful. The SEC had blocked the Winklevoss ETF from coming to market in March 2017, but then faced an appeal from the exchange operator CBOE BATS Exchange, which applied to list the ETF. The CBOE said it was reviewing both the SEC's notice and Commissioner Hester Pierce's dissent. Investors are better served by products traded on a regulated securities and protected by robust securities law, and will continue to work with the SEC and ETF issuers to construct a fully regulated product, said Chris Concannon, Chief Operating Officer of CBOE Global Markets. The party can appeal the SEC's decision in federal court. Gemini did not immediately respond to request for comment. The Winklevoss twins are best known for their feud with Facebook Inc. founder Mark Zuckerberg over whether he stole the idea of what became the world's most popular social networking website. From then, the Olympic rowers ultimately settled their legal disputes, which was dramatized in the 2010 film The Social Network. The SEC's decision to block the ETF was voted for 3-1 by its sitting commissioners. with Pierce voting against. In a statement, Pierce said she believed the product met the legal standard. More institutional participation would help many of the commissioner's concerns with the Bitcoin market that underlie its disapproval order, she said, adding that the ruling sends a strong signal that innovation is unwelcome in our markets. To be honest, the Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss ETF is one of many proposals that have been sent in, or should I say put forward. I believe there's five at present. So what's happened now is they've postponed the Bitcoin ETF proposal until September of this year, 2018. This will basically be the next time they look into a Bitcoin ETF proposal. So you may be asking yourself, why is this important? Why is a Bitcoin ETF important? Well, it gives the ability for institutions to access the asset class itself, more capital coming into the market, higher market cap. But what really is exciting people, I would say, is the fact that gold, if you look at the way gold traded prior to the gold ETF, it was pretty stable. It wasn't particularly liquid. It wasn't an asset class people really used as a safe haven away from the markets. You know, if you look at back in 2008 when the financial crash happened, gold was at its highest point because people moved away from assets in the markets to gold, because gold is known as a safe haven, the original currency. So when the market trades extremely high, you see gold at its lowest points. But the ETF itself helped institutions access gold. I believe it was trading at like $400 per ounce prior to the ETF. The ETF launch, it was $1,500, $1,800. That was kind of back in 2003 time. So Bitcoin itself, if an ETF is created around that, that would be huge for Bitcoin. The institutional capital would be allowed to come in. It would give credence to more capital coming in. The pension funds, investment funds, family offices, they would all be entering via the ETF, because it would be an ETF is an exchange traded fund. It's a safe asset for these guys to buy, and it gives them the ability to purchase Bitcoin without opening up a Coinbase account or a Bitfinex account, for example, which is pretty unrealistic for these guys. So that's why it's so important. But this has been going on for years, by the way, since kind of, I think, 2014, there's a Bitcoin proposal for an ETF that went through. It's been going on and on and on. Last year, we saw more proposals coming through. It takes time. They wrote 92-page analysis, the SEC did, in reply to the ETF. So it's not a quick overnight process, and it won't be something that will happen overnight as well. It looks like if their proposal, the next time they're looking at it, an ETF proposal, the SEC that is in September, you're probably not going to see that till maybe next year or an idea till that. But this will be huge. This is the next big step for Bitcoin. And by the way, if Bitcoin is proposed, if the SEC accepts the proposal for an ETF, this would really take the market to the next level. This could potentially take it to $1 trillion if it hasn't hit that point already. But as I say, listen, this is just our in-house view. This is just something that we believe. This is not financial or trading advice to any degree. Another big point is, you know, why blockchain is becoming the new normal in enterprise. And this is really interesting. So after years of discussion and planning, enterprise blockchain is now becoming a reality across industries as diverse as insurance, healthcare, gold, oil and gas, finance and more. But it's worth taking a step back and reflecting on the reasons why. Have you ever stopped to think about the difference between the way business function and the way the market in which these businesses function and operate? Most businesses are centralized, with the standard corporate structure of a CEO, a board of directors, and all departments necessary in order to run effectively. Yet, most markets are decentralized with no central body in charge. As a result, these two are linked entities function entirely opposite ways. With the IT revolution began many decades ago, it was natural for companies and other centralized organizations to be early adopters of the technology. There was competitive advantage to be gained by optimizing a firm's operations, and a command and control mechanism was required to get the technology adopted and working practices changed. So as a result, it's no surprise that if we look now back to the achievements of the IT industry over recent decades, we see that technology platforms have been deployed within firms and have mostly been used to optimize these firms alone. So however, when you raise your attention to the level of industries and markets, you see an entirely different scenario. It's quite remarkable how little has changed in so many markets. International trade today would be easier and understandable for a merchant from 300 years ago. The mechanics of a complex reinsurance contract is negotiated would look very different 300 years ago. I mean, the list goes on. So in fact, it's when markets have introduced centralization, such as the creation of highly regulated centralized infrastructure in the financial markets, that we've seen a transformational change at the level of an entire industry. The results have often been spectacular, but when and if they have come at the cost of new intermediaries, greater risk concentration, and a resulting regulatory need to reinsure and ensure these new institutions do not become rent seekers or stifle innovation once established. Until recently, we simply haven't had the technology that would allow us to make such change. Without introducing new points of centralization and control, the deepest assumptions of most of the software that exists today are that it will be deployed within a firm, that it will be controlled by that firm, and that because it is run by or for that firm, its outputs can be trusted by people in that firm. And so we find ourselves in today's world where each company in a market has an insanely complex IT estate with hundreds of thousands of corporate applications, many of which do the same thing as their competitors, except the reality is, in fact, worse. Not only do we have mass of duplicated systems, none of them are very in sync. They constantly have to be recoiled and checked to make sure that every party to deal or contract is in sync with each other. However, the advent of Bitcoin taught us something very interesting. It is impossible to build systems that are deployed between multiple entities who don't fully trust each other but desire to transact with each other. And to do so without introducing a new centralized party, they must all trust. It could be a massively powerful breakthrough to apply the same logic to other areas such as legal contracts and healthcare records or reinsurance policies and complex loans. It could be the holy grail for optimizing entire markets without forcing these markets to reshape themselves to conform to the badly fitting centralized models that today's software would demand. It would be the best of both worlds and could unleash productivity revolution. Now, what I find very interesting, something that we look at here at SVK Crypto, is the fact that you have lots of different enterprises at the minute building out their own private blockchains. Now, arguably, this makes sense because they don't want their data, or they don't want a protocol's consensus to outvote their decision on certain things, or they don't want to be in control of a group of individuals based all around the world and they want to have control over their own technology. I get it. I understand that argument. But here's the argument against that. The fact is, innovation comes in all different areas, different ages, different genders. And the fact is, public chains would be way more advanced than private blockchains. And here's our prediction, is that many companies are building their own private blockchains. JP Morgan has many other companies, to list one by JP Morgan. There's many out there. And what's going to happen is you have protocols like EOS, Ethereum, and these will be built out, and the innovation there will be much greater because a 12-year-old programmer in Mumbai has the ability to build and add value to that and take that to the next level, that protocol, whereby the closed-ended private blockchains won't have that, so they'll be very behind the curve. So we believe in the next 5 to 10 years, you will see these private blockchains really kind of disappearing in the market space and companies using public blockchains because of the innovation, how far they will be ahead of private blockchains and how many better features will be enabled upon that. So another point to add to that as well is that if you look back at the 90s, you had the internet and you had the intranet. Internet was for the public, intranet was a private internet used for companies and corporations. you don't hear anyone of using an intranet these days. It's the internet. And that's, we believe, is going to be the same thing with blockchain. You have private blockchains and you have public blockchains. And public blockchains are always going to be ahead in innovation. And that's just what we think and believe. Anyway, interesting to know your thoughts on that one. I think it's an interesting concept. And I know many people have different views on that. So that's a wrap, I think. I'm going to wrap it up right now. I hope everyone has a great weekend. Remember, as always, to join us on Telegram, SVK space crowd. Hit us up on Twitter at SVK_crypto. And remember to check out the cool content that we've been dropping this week of different events that we've been to. There's one of Amsterdam, an event we went to there, the Neo European event or the Neo Amsterdam event. I can't remember it right now. We also did an event in London that was published the next day because the content king, aka Marco, knows what he's doing, man. He can execute to high standards like we all do at SVK Crypto. So remember to check that all out. That will be on YouTube, www.youtube.com/SVK Crypto. Listen, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Have a phenomenal morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in the world. And tune in back next week because we have a big, big show. Let's do this. Have a great weekend. I'm out.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.